Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. Questions as of August 29th. We've got a lot because we had 2 weeks. So I'm going to run through quickly. You want to follow along in the script. You're longtime subscribers and you tried to pay a bill in Wisconsin. And it sounds like the person was an immigrant because she didn't speak very much English and she had never seen cash before. So I put a link to using cash. That's a great story. Then Catherine, I am only a fraction of the way through the sovereignty annual report. Great job. Job well done, John Titus. The most pressing question, what if people started stockpiling coins? And so you describe the opportunity to use coins. I couldn't agree more. Coins is a great idea. Stockpiling coins is a great idea. One of the reasons I love 90% silver is it's legal tender. It was, you know, it was coins before 63. So I couldn't agree more with you, and everyone should consider that. Another brief anecdote on cash and how much difficulty there was to use cash in Washington, D.C. So it doesn't surprise me. Somebody wrote in and said, Dr. Mercola's store in Cape Coral, Florida doesn't take cash. So I emailed him and he said, yeah, so we have problems with employees and, you know, not efficient to take cash. And I thought, oh God, I think the only person who can walk this back is the customer. You've got to be able to say, if you don't take cash, you know, I'm not coming back. Somebody wrote in, Cliff High apparently said that the UK plans to go cashless in December. I don't see that. They're trying to introduce the polymer bills, which it sounds like you're describing, but I don't think in their position to go all cash in December. Okay, geopolitics and financial markets. I found your site through Greg Hunter and read your Dylan Reed piece. One question I am left with regards to the baseline presumption you are starting from the central banking system, the Jefferson. So what you're going through is you're saying the Fed government is hopeless. I don't think the Constitution is hopeless. I think the Constitution enables us to fix things. So in theory, yes, we could fix things within the current legal framework. I think if you throw the Constitution away and the rule of law away, you're going to get something much, much worse. But could you institute 20 to 30 major reforms that would make the federal mechanism workable? Absolutely. Absolutely, but you're going to have to do something that's going to allow tremendous decentralization. Of course, that's going to be a problem for the guys at the top, which is why they're trying to centralize. But could it work? Yeah, sure, it could work. Hello, Catherine. I've heard you mention once or twice that you invest in hedged equities. Your work on FASB 56 is fascinating. And then you ask about companies. I try to avoid companies that are financially dependent on the U.S. government or really focus on contracting. And I have news for you. There are tremendous numbers of great companies in the world that either don't do business with the U.S. government or don't do a lot. So, you know, a lot of times government will make purchases of things. But there's tremendous numbers of companies that qualify. And I put a link to sort of our piece we wrote on investment screening. Can we filter for good companies? Somebody gave some great feedback on what's going on in El Salvador. I'd ask for people's sort of take on that, as well as Mexico and Japan. And I really appreciate the sort of intelligence. Then another question, should someone use Treasury Direct? It's a way you can invest directly through the Treasury website. If you're interested, I would ask these three questions. You need to answer them for yourself. Number one, do you trust the government to keep its word? Two, do you want to finance the government's current activities? And three, do you think the IRS will do set-asides against funds that they're holding in U.S. Treasury securities if and when we get this wave of enforcement that is somehow being promised? So you decide the answers to those questions. Hi, Catherine. Have you heard that the entire Japanese government has resigned? And then a link. Yes. So there, what you've got all around the world is a difficulty of getting government to enforce global mandates, which are not aligned with the sovereign laws. So it's not surprising to see enormous amounts of turnover. And unfortunately, it clearly was connected to the Abe assassination. Equity overview. No hiding who wants our homes now. Hedge funds offers. By the way, they have tons of cash. This is from a real estate broker in Texas. In Tarrant County, Fort Worth, 52 of all home purchases last year were institutional buyers. 52%. It's remarkable. But there is a concerted effort that we've been covering here for years to try and essentially move all the land into centralized ownership and control. Interestingly enough, Blackstone, which had been putting together a war chest to buy residential homes, just announced that they're putting a hold on purchases in 38 cities. They're waiting, which tells me they think they're going to get a cheaper price next year is what it looks like. Catherine, you were talking about training the federal government by creating a tax escrow. Can you explain how this would work? So I wasn't looking to drain. In fact, I was just looking to make sure that the expenditures were according to the law. So there are many different ways you could do it, but I would take a look at ourmoney.salier.com/taxation. Then you wanted to know about how to, some advice on running a chicken farm. So here's the key. The key to success in business is experience. So if you've never started a chicken farm, then you need a partner or someone who's very experienced at doing that. And otherwise, it's going to be a very tricky, if not money-losing investment. So you need to get people with lots of experience at the type of business you're interested to help you run it. And to, you know, sort of design the whole investment plan and the business plan. I think without that, you're talking about a very dangerous or very risky endeavor, especially in this environment. Hi, I'm a relatively recent subscriber, and I must thank you for the many good things you brought to my life. The Wim Hof Method. Apparently, National Health Freedom has helped you understand some of what's been happening to you physically. You just received a shipment of Solari coins. Just FYI, people want Solari coins. We'll authorize the mint that we use to make them if you want to order directly from the mint. You can call customer service if you're interested. Most of all, it is therapeutic to listen to people who have a deep and completely disabused vision of what's going on. Then you have a question about the IRS, you know, they're being able to access your bank account directly. So a couple comments. Some accountants will file with paper. Some require digital. So if you want an accountant that files with paper, you're going to need to find them. If you want to keep your current accountant, they're going to require digital. So what I would do is simply leave open the account that you gave the IRS to get a refund, and then close it after you've gotten your refund, but after you've gone through one or more tax cycles, so that you make sure you have all the records you need to finish off anything you have with the IRS. So you might want to have a little bit of activity in it just to keep it active, but otherwise, I would get the refunds in, and then after a reasonable period of time, once you know you have all your records, then you can close it. I can't give you investment advice. I will tell you, if you're going to do securities, then you're going to have a custodian who's a big financial institution. There's no avoiding that. You can get some diversification if you go to other jurisdictions like Europe, but I find some of the Swiss custodians preferable to some of the big American ones. But it's a big effort at this point to move into other jurisdictions if you're not there already. So if you're going to do securities, you're going to be in a big financial institution, and I can't tell you one is better than the other. It's the gradations are minor and incremental. So securities is going to take you into the established system. The way you direct your money to good versus evil is you by what stocks and bonds you buy. So you want to make sure your money's going for financing legitimate purposes, and you do that by the individual stocks and bonds. So most people are likely investing in index funds, and that's the problem with index funds. It puts you into a little bit of everything. You can't avoid any particular sector or player. Problem that comes as a result of doing index funds, it doesn't come as a result of which custodian you pick. It's specific investment related, not custodian related. If you don't want to do index funds, then the alternative is to screen your portfolio or hire an asset manager who runs a screen portfolio. So those are your choices. But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't rush. If you want to get an improvement in your situation, you want to take the time to make sure it's an improvement. And many of the things, if you're with a big financial institution, many things can be done through those financial institutions if you wanted to. So, for example, in your existing custodian, if you wanted to switch to individual stocks, I'm assuming that you could do that you may want to talk to a really good financial planner who can help you kind of figure out how to do what you want to do. Hi, Catherine. I hope all is well with you. I've heard you talk about using credit unions versus big banks. I have a small account in my state credit union. I went recently to make some changes and I want to move my money from KeyBank to, let's see, you found another credit union and it's going to merge with Broadview Federal Credit Union. My gut says stay away. Okay, so I don't know the individual institutions. I put in the links how to find a good local bank. And what I will tell you is that if you're willing to meet with them, talk with them, I find a personal interview and getting recommendations from people in your area who do know about money and accounting and financial institutions, you should be able to figure it out. There are also services that have bank ratings, but take a look at how to find a local bank and go through the process and see if that helps. And again, take your time. Don't be in a rush. You're trying to find a bank that's going to be a great relationship for you, and it takes time. Dear Catherine, I've truly enjoyed my time at Solari. Terrific interviews, advice, aggregation of information, collaborators like John Tizes. I'm a Tennessee resident residing in the Nashville suburbs. I'm considering large acreage land acquisition within an hour or so. I have good intel on my county and wanted your input. If you're in Nashville, I would look within an hour of Nashville. So Lewis County, Perry County, some of the other counties. I ended up in Hickory Valley because of family that I had there. My father's family was originally from Hardeman County. You're looking for a bank in Middle Tennessee. I've been looking for a good bank in Middle Tennessee and have not yet found it. And if you find one, let me know. You also say you've been doing quite a lot of work investigating the infinite banking concept, utilizing whole life insurance as pioneered by Nelson Nash. I took a look at the website and know absolutely nothing about it. It's a complete blank. But if you think it's interesting, I don't know, I can't promise to look at it. You should see the parking lot of the books and videos I'm promised to digest. Hello, Catherine. I'm new to your group, having just recently joined. I live in Ireland. I would love to invest in innovative projects, startups, new world projects. Okay. So here's what you do, and it's really relationships. What you want to do is very quietly find one or two business people who are doing local investment, who are really good at it and are making money at it, are successful at it, and then come in behind them. You can also support a couple of entrepreneurs. There may be local food groups and farmers as well. But I would very quietly and discreetly look around. But you want to look around for people who can be the lead investor and you can be a follower investor. You're going to be much better off coming in behind an experienced investor and following along with them. See if you can find any angel investment clubs or crowdfund groups locally. There may be some. Think of it like a local Shark Tank. Hi, Catherine. I have an opportunity, if we can call it that, to take out a 401k that is self-directed, but I think they only offer indices. Would an index-based 401k be better if it is self-directed or is just more of the same old, same old? I don't know enough about your situation or the particulars to answer the question. In my opinion, self-directed is always better than not self-directed. I assume when you say indices that it's doing index funds. I don't do index funds, so but that's my personal choice just because I like to be very specific about where my money goes and what it does. I want to have a lot of faith in, what my money is in. And it helps because when the market's down, and falling, you're like, I'm in great company, so I'm not worried. They'll do great. So markets go up and down, and although I suspect we have more down to go here. It could get really bad. My personal choice is I don't do indices. Hi, Catherine. My accountant set up a direct deposit mechanism some years ago at U.S. Treasury so he could send me tax refunds. I assume this is the kind of train tracks you think is unwise. I've emailed my accountant about how to get rid of it, but suspect the only way to really do is to have my bank give me a new checking account. So what I would do is, yeah, I would get a new checking account, move most of your activity to the new checking account, and then use the other account to finish off your relationship. If you can move to a paperful relationship with the IRS, it's a little bit more work and it can make the refund much slower, but I for one am going to be doing paper. I don't like the idea of direct access. Anyway, if you do open a new account, only close the old account after you've been through tax season, even more than one tax season. Make sure you have all your documents and papers, and there's no reason to keep the account open anymore. Let's see, the woman I babysit for just told me that her brother bought a virtual farm for $25,000. You can buy virtual cows, and he says it has increased in price. Is this mind control or just stupidity? Okay, so this is speculation, and the entire affair depends on more people coming in. So it's a little bit like a Ponzi scheme. You're depending on a speculation and sort of people valuing all of this as entertainment as opposed to any fundamental economic purpose. If you see Warren Buffett's sort of answer to why he has no interest in Bitcoin, it's the same thing because the price depends on more people coming in as opposed to any fundamental economic demand. Now, I do suspect that demand in these things is being seeded with plenty of entrainment technology and subliminal programming. So in that sense, the speculation is, certainly is there's a contribution from these kinds of technologies, in my opinion. I have absolutely no evidence. I just assume it's like everything else. Okay, so this one is really interesting, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Catherine, very much appreciate your post. I tried to find the original. Oh wait, no, sorry. Here we go. Hi, Catherine. My name is blank, blank, blank. And I'm a subscriber to the Salier Report. Last week in the August 18th Money and Markets, you stated that Enron had 700 or maybe 600 Cayman Island entities. I think I said 700. I think this is incorrect. I'm sure there were Cayman entities, but the number would have been lower. I worked at Enron from November 1999 through September 2004. This was 2 years pre-bankruptcy and 3 years post-bankruptcy. Enron had 2,000 legal entities, 1,000 were domestic, formed in the US, and 1,000 were foreign. In my first 8 months at Enron, I was manager in the tax department and international reporting and compliance. This group had responsibility for the preparation of tax returns, monthly tax provision, and monthly close. There were five managers' groups in international reporting and compliance. I had responsibility for 400 of the 1,000 foreign entities. In order to do my job, I had to know the country of incorporation. I had access to the three computer systems and the corporate secretary records. My assigned business units were Enron in India and Enron Asia. Though it had been a while, my recollection is that most or all of the entities were formed in Texas, India, or Asia. This leads to the question, what about the other 600? Some were in construction business units, some were in Enron Europe. I do not recall the other units. However, it would have been similar to my business units that would not have been primarily operating out of Cayman Island. If you don't mind sharing, what is the source of information? Thanks for being so honest and forthright in discussing the economy and current events. I've learned a lot from you. So I absolutely assume that what you're telling me is 100% accurate. So I tried to find the original reference. I know it either would have been the press release from the Cayman Islands or a highly reputable source that happened at the same time that I used when I sort of read and researched and wrote about the press release. I can't find it. And I'm sure it's on some old computer laptop sitting in the United States, but I don't have it here. Anyway, so I tried to find the post, tried to find the press release, couldn't find them. I'm confident that it was a highly reputable source. Now, I'm sure what you're telling me is accurate. So I'm wondering if some of the subs had subs or, one subsidiary had 10 sort of offshore mechanisms, that were wholly owned within that subsidiary, and that's how it happened. Because it was from a highly reputable source. Now, could they have been wrong? Yes. But I think there are a couple of possibilities. Anyway, my apologies. I would love to have been able to go back and find it. Hi, Catherine, and I really appreciate your post because that really that's how we gather information on these situations. Hi, Catherine, what's your opinion of this constitutional amendment? This is a constitutional amendment to allow the Tennessee state government to own banks and equities in private, to own banks and equities in private companies. Now, I would love to see the state start a bank. It's not clear to me that this is so that the state can start a or own private banks, it's not, it's a little bit fuzzy. Generally, I think this is a bad idea because it opens the state up to tremendous pressure from private parties who are going to want to use taxpayers' resources to finance their operations and back their operations. So now the state in its pension funds does buy tremendous amounts of state equities. And I think because they do have a rainy day fund, there may be pressure to allow the rainy day fund to purchase equities, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But this one is pretty tricky because the pressure from corporations to convert this into funny business is such that without knowing anything further, I would be skeptical of such a change. So the article you sent me is which is also negative on the changes. Their criticisms are well taken. Anyway, you said you look forward to seeing me at the Wise Traditions Conference in October. So I look forward to seeing you then. Now you somebody sent a prayer process that they designed to help break ice and help people get to know each other and get along better. It's very interesting. So it's in the show notes and I would take a look at it. Reminds me a little bit of Lynn McTaggart's Circles of Eight. Then somebody put something in on Cash Friday. Then a very interesting point from someone whose grandfather was part of the process of selling the Dodge Brothers into Dylan Reed. This is fascinating. And then you suggested I read a book about Forrestal, which I've read it. Yes, it's very good. And then your family was also in horses. This is absolutely fascinating. At one point, I knew the whole history of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, and I'd forgotten about Bold Venture, which is the name of the horse. So it's very, very interesting. I would thank you for posting that. You wanted to know why or sort of how I was in the Netherlands. So our audio visual team, our audio video team is here under Robert Duper, who's always, since 2015, done our audio video. And he's got a whole team here. And so I've co-located with him, and it's really heaven to be in terms of productivity and working on the sort of doing the audios, doing the videos. It's great to be co-located with that team. Anyway, we wanted to start a company here because it was growing. And the Netherlands has a Dutch American treaty. You can just look it up and read it. But it's basically for people who want to start and operate a business in the Netherlands. And so so basically Salieri and our audio video company set up a business to handle all the business that's growing. And it's been very productive. And it's much easier to be located than to be someplace else. Anyway, that's the basis of my Dutch residency. My hope had been to work both from the United States and Netherlands back and forth, as well as do a fair amount of traveling, but it all depends on the ease of traveling. I just came back from 3 weeks in Lake Constance in Germany and Switzerland, and traveling around under the current conditions is really nowhere near as fun as it used to be. So while you're trying to run Solari and you're traveling around without a, maybe if I put together an RV that had a studio in it, that would work. So anyway, but I don't predict where and when I'm going to be because I don't. You tell me what the world's going to be like in a year, right? I have no idea. Anyway, it's I love being here and I love working with the audio video team here, so it's a great place. Let's see, I'm reading all your recommended books on mind control neurological weaponry. So the 7-year-old I babysit often is intrigued by the established rule of no Alexa or iPads or TV on my watch. First, it is good for the three kids, but I won't lie, just it makes my life easier not to get their brains jacked up. So the other day, one kid made the comment of how I would know that these things are bad for his brain. I then showed him a video of an opera singer breaking a glass. He was surprised by that. I then said, I think these iPad games can be sending out a vibration that seems harmless, but what if it breaks your brain? It was a great analogy, but I have to ask you if it makes sense to those that understand mind control or mind weaponry. I'm always searching for ways to connect this to something people already understand. That's a great idea to find analogies and metaphor like the opera singer. Anyone else got them? I'm kind of stumped on what else you could come up with, but I tend to use movies on mind control to persuade people, but anybody else got them? So definitely send them in, but that's a great idea about the opera singer. I recently subscribed to Salieri and saw you on an interview with Dark Journalist where you recounted a situation where you asserted common law right of offset and you wanted to know more about it. You can find the documentation on the money that's missing from the US government at missingmoney.salieri.com, and you can find a description in the New York Fed rolls as depository at the US Treasury and New York Fed website. And you can also find a description of what I did in the taxation write-up at the third quarter 2021 wrap-up on money.salieri.com. The best thing is to find an attorney knowledgeable in banking and business law and creditor rights who's willing to advise you. So it's going to depend on who your attorney is, what jurisdiction is, what the particulars are with the bank that you're dealing with, but I describe what I did in the ourmoney.salieri.com/taxation. Question: I signed up for Best Evidence on Substack and now got an email that does not seem like something Titus would have sent. It was a Netflix trailer. Does that sound correct? I know nothing about Substack. I'm assuming if you sign up for anything on Substack, then Substack corporate reserves the right to send you stuff. But what I would do is I would go to John's Best Evidence channel and let him know and see if there was anything amiss with the registration, but I have no idea. Then somebody posted a comment about the National Heritage Act, which is quite chilling, and it's more invasion into controlling local real estate and using government money to control local land and real estate. It's pretty chilling. I'm not familiar with this particular act, but I am familiar with lots of other funding sources and acts that play the same game, particularly giving money to NGOs that basically run around, make a lot of rules, and drive everybody crazy. So it's all part of the financial coup and invasion, and climate change and is going to make it worse. I tried to search and browsing in the posts if posted already, but I could not find. So somebody's sending in a link to an interview that Dr. Lee Merritt did with a woman named Dr. Wah. I tried to use I used asterisks to blank out most of the word, but in my opinion, those videos are complete and utter BS. There's an operation of disinformation. I guess my nickname for it is Operation Smother. And right now, a lot of the more sophisticated operatives of Operation Smother have been getting attacks and getting a hard time. And so it looks like Operation Smother sent out a sort of lower quality BS artist to distract us all. So I would just completely throw all of those out and ignore them completely. Hi, Catherine. I had the pleasure of meeting you in Pasadena. You're a cybersecurity professional and you're a fan of Rob Braxman and wanted to recommend him as a guest. I think that's a great recommendation. Braxman gets very high marks from our tech team, so I've watched some of his videos over the last year. They like to always point out they don't always agree with him, but they like him and think he comes up with a lot of great stuff. So in fact, he would be perfect for this solution series. So I sent something to Corey Lynn to see if she'd be interested. Someone had a question about the Ellis Medavoy interviews, some of my favorite interviews that John Rappaport did. I had described Medavoy blowing up, or Rappaport blowing up at Medavoy, and Medavoy then explaining that no matter how hard they tried to control the discourse, they could never quite control it. He said he's gone through all the Medavoy interviews and the Matrix Revealed collection, and that discussion isn't in there. I emailed John, and so based on what I read from John, I'm just assuming that he forgot to put that one in. I read it when it came out on email long before the collection was ever created. In fact, the collection was created because I kept asking him to pull them all together in one place. So I don't know. I have no idea how to figure it out without going through all of his collections and looking back. So I hope that email didn't, or that interview didn't get dropped. It's somewhere. But I'm 100% certain it was Medavoy. It was priceless. Anyway, keep reading through the interviews. If you find it and I'm wrong, let me know. Hi, Catherine. I've attached a report that has a different and grounded in data perspective. Okay, so this is an investment report by somebody familiar with the financial markets, and they describe the likelihood that the BRIC nations triggered by what the Americans have done with sanctions and freezing reserves, are going to stop repudiating debt and then nationalizing assets. And that's a military question. If they can get away with it without the US being able, or the G7 being able to stop it by military means, and this gets back to the secret weaponry. So if the rod of God and weather warfare can't stop the repudiation of debts and the seizing of assets, then their description of real economic chaos, in fact, could come true. Anyway, so very interesting post by somebody very knowledgeable with some interesting thoughts about how bad things could get. And make no mistake about it, the Western world has been massively subsidized. And now that we're entering a period, commodities have been coming down, 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 down. Now that we're entering a period where prices of commodities are going to go up, 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 maybe not a commodity super cycle. It depends on what happens with technology, but definitely commodities on the rise. The pressure for the commodity producers to back away from subsidizing the Western world is very, very real. And it's a big part of the multipolar world. Thanks for sending that. I really appreciate that. Then somebody wrote in lots of different examples of sort of what I call the great poisoning and all the things that are happening to get, weird stuff into our bodies. They're very concerned, as am I, about what the ability or what the ingredients in different food and spraying and injections, how it relates to the efforts to use mind control. So I'm with you. There's what's going on in the Great Poisoning is quite gruesome. Then somebody sent in a link to Tucker Carlson, who's been doing some great rants, I must admit. Okay, health and foods, questions about how to garden indoors. And we asked John Moody if he would give us some tips. And so I put those in the script. One was a farmer in Pennsylvania who does 9 or so months a year of indoor growing. It looks very interesting. I put the links in the show notes. I also recommend the books at Acres and Lehman's. Both of those online stores have some really great books. Then we roll into links, some great links, and we have a lot of links. One of them is about a young man, a remarkable young man named, well, the pseudonym was Cole Summers. He wrote under the name Cole Summers. I think his real name was Kevin. Anyway, he's going to be our hero next week. Amazing story. And you sent me the GoFund page for his family, and we have donated $100. So we're going to make him hero. And we've donated 100. I really appreciate that link. Someone else sent in the link to What Is a Woman, which also happens to be our movie next week. What a charming guy. It's a physicist who's very sort of fact-based, wandering around and asking a lot of people, including a lot of woke people, what is a woman is pretty funny. Anyway, links on the digital dollar, a store in Los Angeles that got raided for selling raw milk. More, a great review on electronic bikes. Oh my God, I've been thinking for quite a while about buying an electronic bike. So this is really interesting. Now he's in France, I'm in the Netherlands, but this one was delicious. So I will repost and read that with great interest. Then some information about biometric palm readers. Oh God, it's so gruesome. But you posted it in subscriber input, and somebody put the funniest questions. You have to listen to this. So this is a subscriber commenting on the information about biometric palms, and they write, "If you see this in a retail location, e.g. Whole Foods, it's an opportunity to talk about biometric payments with the cashier. E.g., instead of robbers stealing a fingerprint, they now need the entire hand. When are the iris scanners being installed? How is Jason Bourne going to shop? Are they going to ask for a blood sample next? Consumers have zero liability if their credit card is stolen, unlike debit cards. If a consumer already has zero liability for payment fraud, why accept risk of biometric data theft? What about pesky foreign hackers? Why does the neighborhood grocery store need the same system as national border control?" I love that one. How can Jason Bourne shop here? Anyway, thank you very much. That was very funny. I thought this was a tremendous article bringing together so many subjects like COVID, covert operations, Oh, it's on Wall Street, the Nazis and the Crimes of the Deep State. You know, read Anthony Sutton's Wall Street trilogy, lest you think that the guys behind this are any different than the guys behind the Bolsheviks. Somebody sent a post about somebody saying very kind things, the heroics of the people who resisted the injections. And it's true that that was a brutal test, and many, many, many passed. And we need to do everything we can help the ones who weren't able to make it through that gauntlet. Somebody sent a really good Neil Oliver rant, and then one from Coffee and COVID, the Mandate Gold Rush. I like Coffee and COVID, it's good. An 18-minute video from Team Enigma on the all-cause mortality. Denny Reincourt, I just watched his presentation on all-cause mortality. It's bad. And what was really surprising to me is the worst rise in all-cause mortality is the sort of 20 to 44 age group in the seven southern states that sent all the kids to the military. So military is going to have a harder and harder time recruiting, but they're basically going at the young people who are, working age and work for the military, the small farms and the small business. It's a very ugly picture. After 8 months after I told you about, oh, so somebody's sending reports, I guess it's a report from Peter Sweeten's Substack on excess mortality. Ugh, it's bad. The life expectancy in the US from 2019 to 2020 dropped 1.8 years. Unbelievable. Then something from someone in San Francisco about the how unbelievable it is that there are so many wildfires. I'm with you. Also a look from Martin Armstrong. Martin Armstrong sort of predicts, I don't know, he does predictions from black boxes, and I'm not a fan of black boxes or prophecy, so I take it with a grain of salt. Then some recommendations of Norman Dodd's wonderful videos on quote unquote the enemy within, tax-exempt foundations. Norm Dodd, he does great, or he did, he's no longer with us. He does great things. I'm always recommending Norm Dodd's interview with Ed Griffin. It's fantastic. It was one of our picks for best 10 documentaries ever. Even though it's not a documentary, it's just an interview, but it's boy, it really helps you understand the world. Then one on propaganda is everywhere. Yep. But this one is interesting. Somebody took an anti-war activist related to the Ukraine Donbass situation and took them to Donbass and walked them around. And I think it's great because it gets us out of sort of cyberspace into real intimate space with real intimate people. Rant on a pro-vax friend. A rant from John Rappaport on Sillery and Fitz that was pretty funny. He had written one before that saying, no one's doing anything. And I just said, John, I just dedicated my life to doing everything possible, and now you're saying I'm no one. What are you doing? A post from William Engdahl on the accumulation of farmland in the Ukraine. Very ugly story. Then more from Ed Dowd and all the things going wrong with the injections. A list of Rothschild-owned banks. I don't think that's reliable, so I would be careful. Whole bunch of people did notice that Fauci has resigned. Be careful, because Fauci was a lame duck, wouldn't be able to get anything new done. Beware who replaces. Some links related to the assassination of in Russia of Dugin, the Dugin assassination, terrible. Then numerous more links. A great link from Arthur Furstenberg, the author of The Invisible Rainbow, about the dangers of wireless technology, and I recommend that link to you highly. We will repost. Then there were many links that we couldn't pull over from subscriber input, so we just put the links to the ones in subscriber input. One video recommended castor oil. I can't say enough good things about castor oil. Some great stuff from Whitney Webb, who's just doing great things. And of course, the wonderful Ginger and Peter Bragan. We put up links to their latest discussion of the effort to weaponize mental health. It's terrible. And then some great, there's a great photo of R2D2, which is a play on words of Tennessee. Anyway, some great links, and check them out in the script for Ask Catherine. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back next week for more questions and Ask Catherine. And as always, thank you for your questions and have a great evening.